This is fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together for this knowledge.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world. The flow of the century, always timeless. Hope. Thank you for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. We appreciate that.
This is MMA Torque editor Jamie Pennick, and this is the daily audio update for Thursday, August 14th, 2008. Just got a lot of random stuff to go through here today, and we'll start with a fight announcement for UFC 90. Ultimate Fighter 4 contestant Pete Drago Cell, middleweight, is going to be dropping down to welterweight to fight Tough Enough 1 alum Josh Berkman at October's UFC 90. That was confirmed with MMA Junkie today. Actually, yesterday. So that's going to take place in Chicago. Cell hasn't fought since September of last year, and he's looking to snap a four-fight losing streak. He's suffered losses to Nate Quarry twice, Scott Smith, and Talis Lytus. And Berkman is going to look to snap a two-fight losing streak. So this is going to be an undercard fight. Couple of Ultimate Fighter alums. So this will be a interesting one, and we'll see how Cell does in the welterweight division after struggling in the middleweight division. Speaking of welterweights, Elite XC's welterweight champion, Jake Shields, his opponent, MMA Mania, confirmed the matchup, according to them. It hasn't been officially confirmed by Elite XC yet, but the next Showtime event, I believe, is September 20th. Elite XC's main event is going to be Jake Shields defending the welterweight title against John Alessio, and of course, you'll remember Shields at the last CBS show said that he wanted to fight the winner of the GSP-John Fitch fight from this last Saturday. Obviously, he's not going to get a chance to do that with UFC not cross-promoting and not necessarily sure that he'd be able to hang with GSP at the level that John Fitch did, but still, John Alessio had a good record in the WEC, losing only to Carlos Condit and Brock Larson. And he had a 5-2 record in WEC, but he was 0-3 inside the octagon in the UFC. So, just shows you more how Elite XC is definitely minor leagues here, and Jake Shields is just unfortunately not going to have a chance to prove himself against top competition while he's there. But that'll be an interesting fight. We'll see how John Alessio matches up against Shields, and I think if Shields was able to run through Nick Thompson like he did at the CBS show last month, I think he'll be able to do the same against John Alessio here. So, speaking of UFC not cross-promoting, we got some more to comment on the Randy Couture Fedor Emelianenko fight that everyone wants to see, yet doesn't look to be happening anytime soon. We've got interesting comment from Randy Couture from the Adam Carolla radio show that he was interviewed on. This is Randy's exact quote. "They're still trying to call me the heavyweight champion. I resigned and relinquished the title. Nogueira is, in my opinion, the champion now in the UFC. I need to be free and clear of that before I can pursue this fight somewhere else with Fedor. I'd love for the UFC to step up and make the fight happen. It has the potential to be the biggest mixed martial arts fight to date." Now, here's where he might be a little off his rocker and might be a little overestimating what him and Fedor can draw, but the rest of this quote is, "It has the potential to do 700,000-plus pay-per-view buys, which is a hell of a lot of money. I think 6 to 10 million for each of us, and they're still going to make a boatload of money on top of that." That's a little bit extreme for Randy, and I mean, granted, no one's doubting that the Fedor-Randy fight would be awesome. No one's doubting that they want to see it. Fedor is definitely the best heavyweight in the world, and Randy wants to to throw his name there and see and see who the best man is. Now, under the UFC banner, could it do 700,000 buys? Possibly. Would that justify 6 to 10 million for each of them? Not for the UFC and not for Dana White. And there is no way in the UFC that that much money gets thrown to the two of them each for that fight. If they brought them in for a one-time thing, they might go 3 to 4 million each. I wouldn't see that as... I mean, that would be obviously far more than anyone else has received. But if they do it as a one-time fight, that would be the only way I see them making that type of money. But I still don't see Dana White shilling out that money for two guys who aren't going to continue to stick around and make more money for them in the future. No, that fight will be huge when and if and when it happens. But 6 to 10 million is way, way out of the question. Speaking of Fedor, CBS Sports has a good interview on sportsline.com with Fedor from a press meeting on Tuesday about Fedor's upcoming plans, and he talked about his right hand injury. It's healing, but he's obviously going to miss the next Affliction show in October. So, of course, the fight that they had originally planned, Andre Arlovsky against Fedor, has been changed to Andre against Josh Barnett, which will also be another good fight. Definitely not at the same level for main eventing that show. Andre Fedor, especially with how the both of them looked at the last show, would have been huge. Would have been definitely one that a lot of people would have paid to see. Would have been a much more marquee matchup than Tim Sylvia and Fedor. So, but it still should be a good fight between Barnett and Arlovsky. They're both going to stand up and duke it out in that main event. Should be an exciting thing for Affliction's next show. Fedor commented on that show in this interview, saying they couldn't have done better for someone putting on a first show. If they keep growing, they have the potential to be as big, if not exceed, the popularity of the UFC. Yeah, I don't see that happening with Affliction. They've got one division. UFC's got everything else on lockdown. So, granted, Fedor says they exceeded what other companies have been able to do after years, and that is true. Affliction was able to put on quite the hell of a pay-per-view show as their first event, so it was a good beginning, but there's no way they're going to eclipse the UFC. They don't have the fighters, they don't have the money to dish out to those, to bring in more fighters, which, I mean, I'll touch on here in a second with in regards to Tito Ortiz, but they're not going to be shilling out money left and right. But Fedor's other goals for this year, he wants to fight on New Year's Eve again in Japan for the sixth consecutive year. Something that he wants to fulfill for his Japanese fans, and that's partly why he's there in Los Angeles. He was in Los Angeles on Monday to meet with Randy Couture. And obviously Fedor's... His quote is, first and foremost, my desire is to fight Randy. So they both want that fight, obviously. We all want to see it as fans. We all want to see it as MMA journalists. So we all want to see that fight. I just don't know where it's going to take place because this contract dispute with Randy Couture, who knows how long this could take if it stays locked up in courts. And I mean, I just don't see this fight happening in the UFC for the money that they want. And especially with Emelianenko's manager, Vadim Finkelstein, his comments here make it very clear. He says that they're not against working with the UFC, but they don't like that Dana is trying to monopolize and do everything the UFC's way, and It's not what they're about. Mainly is the main dispute is UFC's unwillingness to let Fedor do the Russian Sambo competitions. Finkelstein's quote is, "We're talking about a national sport in Russia, something that's very dear to his heart and important to not only him but to his people. Many of the terms were oppressive, and it was take it or leave it." So that's what you got for the contract talks with Fedor and the UFC. But then again, you can understand Dana's thoughts here too, because you don't want to risk any injury in some other type of competition, especially when you're going to be, if you'd be paying him the type of money that Fedor would have garnered in the UFC per fight. So, I mean, we'll keep our eyes and ears open for anything more on that, but for the time being, that's a long ways out if and when it can happen. Another update for Affliction's second show in October, the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, entitled Day of Reckoning. Two fighters who lost on the first show, Ben Rothwell and Pedro Hizo, are going to be facing each other. You know, Rothwell had a lot of heart and showed a lot of heart and showed a great chin in his loss to Andrei Arlovsky. Can't say the same for Hizo. He seemed slow. I don't want to say out of shape, but he wasn't definitely in his old style. In his element, really. He just seemed a step or two behind Josh Barnett in that fight last month. So this could turn out to be a decent one for both of them. I expect Rothwell to probably win this one, because Arlovsky, or Hizo's obviously not going to pose the same type of onslaught that Arlovsky did in their fight last month. Our final piece of news today is on Tito Ortiz and his negotiations with Affliction. It has been widely speculated that Tito was going to be fighting on the next Affliction show in October against Renato Babalu Sobral. That doesn't look like it's going to be happening here. Affliction Vice President Tom Atencio told MMAWeekly.com that negotiations are underway with the former light heavyweight champion from the UFC, Tito Ortiz. They're working on a deal with Ortiz's lawyers right now. Ortiz had stated in an interview with Sports Illustrated last week that he was working on a groundbreaking record contract with Affliction, and then he was a no-show at the press conference for Day of Reckoning. So there's no real details on the negotiations right now, but Atencio said that it was pretty much the contract right now. The money on it is the sticking point, because as he's quoted here, we've got a contract and it's just not feasible. So Ortiz is asking for a lot, and it's just they don't have that to give them. They don't want to. Atencio says they don't want to be looked at as a cash cow for fighters, and I mean, obviously they're going to have part of that reputation based on the payouts for the salary for the first show, but Ortiz is demanding quite a lot for this contract, and he also wants to get involved in the promotion side at Affliction as well. So there's a lot of stuff on that deal that needs to be worked out, but quite frankly, I mean, Tito Ortiz is a name. He's a name fighter. He's going to bring some buys to whatever show he's on. With his history in the UFC, he's going to bring people with him who are fans. I mean, obviously, at the Fight Club Q&A for UFC 87, there was a Canadian woman who went a little crazy as a fan of Tito Ortiz and calling out Dana White, but You know, Tito's a name fighter, but as Dana has said, he hasn't won a fight in 2 years. So, he doesn't deserve the type of money he's asking for, if that's really what the case is here. Sure, he deserves to get some. He's a name. He can sell himself. He's entitled to some money if an organization wants to bring him in. But to have a record-breaking contract, Tito Ortiz is not the guy to get that. So that's all I've got for today. So be sure to stay tuned to MMAtorch.com for news and updates and articles throughout the week. And check back again tomorrow for another daily audio update. Thank you.